السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام على من اتبع الهدى. A beautiful and warm welcome to you this Wednesday morning in spring, the second day of September, corresponding with the 17th of Dhulqa'dah, 1436. In my part of the world, it's an absolutely glorious day. Looking out of my window, I can see little camellia buds and the birds are all over the trees. You definitely can feel the spirit of spring and regrowth and new birth all in one day. Let's begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a short dua. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. Allahumma la taj'al unsana illa bik wa la hajatana illa ilayk wa la raghbatana illa fi thawabika wa jannatika. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. The translation was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not find familiarity except in you. Let us not turn for our needs to anybody besides you. Let our desire only be in achieving your reward and your paradise. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. The topic today is Islam, a religion for all seasons. And if we look at our lives, life is a journey of change. Nothing that we experience in this life is permanent. Every single situation is temporary and it simply transforms from one situation to another situation. And the consistent experiences are reminders of the temporary nature of this life. So as I explained earlier, looking out of the window, you can see that there definitely is a seasonal change. And all of this reminds us that life by its very nature is meant to change. And likewise, every ease and every hardship that we face doesn't last forever. And that is why Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 3 verse 140, تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِرُهَا. These are days of varying conditions that we alternate among the people. So the topic that we're talking about today, Islam, a faith for all seasons, the subtext or the subtopic under that would be that there's no such thing as a permanent condition. So if you are in a state of grief, then indeed that grief is going to be lifted. And the important thing that we remember that the only condition of permanence is that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us are going to disappear. Our circumstances, our situations, whatever we're going through, everything has a state of non-permanence besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So grief too has to disappear. And that is why in the second half of the program, we'll be looking at the question of sharing grief. Is grief shared? Grief halved. When we share our grief, is it something that is good? Is it something that is bad? How should we grieve in the Sharia? And I'm going to start off an introduction to the second part of our program talking about a post that I read a few weeks ago online. Many of you are familiar with Sister Naima Roberts. She's an author, she's a journalist, she's a good writer, she's the founder of the Sisters magazine in the UK. Now she you've read her book From My Sister's Lips, where she converted to Islam and looked at that book and brought in many stories of people who had converted to Islam, women who started wearing the scarf, women who had been through many different experiences, and I think it was very, very popular in South Africa, that book. Now, she lost her husband a few months ago, and she writes this post, The Gift of Iddah, that I'm going to read out to you. And it's, as I said, it's an introduction to what we'll be discussing in the latter part of the program, that the non-permanence of grief, the changing situations and the seasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So I hope that will be a good reminder for all of us in whatever circumstance and situation that we're facing in our lives. She writes, "A part of me died 4 months and 10 days ago, but alhamdulillah, it wasn't hope, it wasn't courage, and it definitely wasn't faith and trust in my Lord's perfect plan. The call woke me before Fajr. My heart stopped, and I tried to recognize the number on the screen, a blank. But when I answered the phone and heard the familiar voice of the doctor on the other side, I prepared myself for the worst. And the worst came. Heart stopped beating, CPR attempted for 30 minutes, no hope. Jazakallahu khair, I whispered hoarsely before cutting off the call. Then I immediately rose from the bed and fell into sujood of shukr, alhamdulillah. It was the moment that I had dreaded, but also a moment I've been preparing myself for ever since a sister who had come to visit me at the hospital had told me of the story of a husband and wife whose daughter was desperately ill. Every time they came to the hospital, the doctors would tell them more and more reasons why she was not going to make it. And after every visit, the father would turn to his wife and said, 'Don't forget.' This continued for several days, and the doctors predicting the worst, and the husband reminding his wife not to forget, until the day they arrived and were given the news that would break any parent's heart. Their daughter had died. Upon hearing the news, the husband turned to his wife and said to her, "Now." And they both fell into sujood of shukr. The hospital staff were amazed, some of them even horrified. Surely this was a terribly sad event, one to be wept over, to be mourned, not to be celebrated with sujood. They asked the couple why they had done this. And the couple told the staff at the hospital how they had taken the decision to give thanks for their daughter's life, for the joy she had brought them, for the love they had shared with her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed them to love her and to care for her for all these years. Should they not give thanks for this? And when I heard that story, I decided that that was what I was going to do if it ever came to that. Because you see, I had no right to bemoan losing my husband after being gifted with more happiness in 16 years than many taste in several lifetimes. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us both to Islam and a few short years later to each other. My husband's understanding and patient attitude brought out the best in me, in deen and dunya. His way was not to command and force, but rather guide and even make me make my own mistakes and learn from them. As with those he worked with, his aim was always to support me in fulfilling my potential, because it was that quality that had drawn him to me in the first place. His words, not mine. Quite simply, we understood each other, we supported each other, we were best friends and allies as well as husband and wife. It is no exaggeration to say without him, I would not be the woman I am today. It was the reason that I dedicated from my sister's lips to him all those years ago. With the wind beneath my wings, I always pray that any good I had done would be counted on the scale of his good deeds. As it was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him after a bout of illness, after completing the Hajj twice. The last time with me, and having recently taken all his children for Umrah. He died a Muslim, on Tawheed, in the land of Muslims, well loved by his family, friends and colleagues. Alhamdulillah, some things are indeed a comfort. For those of you who's just joined us, I'm reading from Naima B. Roberts' letter that she has written, or article that she wrote after her husband passed earlier this year. Let us continue. In the days that followed his passing, I was an autopilot. There was no time for breaking down when you're a foreign national trying to complete paperwork for a burial. On the day the British embassies closed for a UK holiday, I went through the motions. I WhatsApped everyone to give them the news. I sat on the phone to try and get an appointment to allow his body to be buried in Egypt as he would have wanted. I stood in crowded offices while my papers were shuffled back and forth, collecting stamps and signatures along the way. By the time we had finally got permission to bury him, we were late. The Dhuhr prayer was in less than an hour. My phone was dead. I knew I wouldn't be able to let people know about the janazah in time. But by that time, I was past caring. I observed the janazah salah from the steps of the masjid, and I said my last salam to him in the courtyard before they took him on the long drive to the graveyard. Surrounded by my children, my family, my in-laws, sisters, brothers, colleagues and well-wishers on every side, I felt like I was watching a scene in a movie. I played my part well. I was the gracious widow, receiving condolences, comforting others, maintaining my composure, but in truth, my heart was aching. And yet through it all, my faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was undaunted. Alhamdulillah. I wrote at the time, "I feel so incredibly blessed. Even in the midst of the trial, as the tears fell, I'm surrounded by His mercy. The du'as, the support, the love, the sense of strength and serenity are all signs of His mercy. Alhamdulillah, I accept. Alhamdulillah, I am at peace. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah is the balm for my aching heart." The next challenge after burying him would be mourning him, observing the iddah. This is a delicate tension in the state of iddah, the mourning period for a widow. On the one hand, life continues, particularly if you have children or have to work to support your family. contrary to popular belief, it is permitted for the widow to go out in iddah, to do her work, to fulfill her needs. The pressures, demands and responsibilities of the world are real, and they can't wait for 4 months and 10 days to be over. Some widows find that family members take over these tasks, but in many cases, you are forced to plan, to look forward, to move on, to face the world. It can be an exquisite distraction from the pain that lies very deep under the school run, bedtime stories and endless paperwork and deadlines, but it's still a distraction. On the other hand, your state of iddah restricts you, cannot fully embrace life even if you want to. You're not supposed to wear beautiful clothes or adorn yourself in any way. Although you may have many visitors and spend time with family and friends, you're expected to shun social gatherings. You are not to entertain proposals. You should observe your iddah of mourning in your marital home. All this means that you must pause, you must reflect, you must withdraw, you must face the reality, brave the darkness, the ache, the loneliness, the anger, the fear, the feeling of being utterly bereft. You must face it because it will break you down, bring you to your knees, make you feel once again that vulnerability of his last days, when you would have given anything for one last apology, one last kiss, one last promise. You must face the reality that this is Allah's plan for you, and that, if this is so, there must be khair in it for you. It's there. It's there in the chance to ask for forgiveness, to pour your heart out, to cleanse, to rectify your soul, to purify your habits, to be ready to emerge from your iddah like a butterfly from a chrysalis, reborn, refashioned, beautiful. She then goes on to write, "For me, my iddah has been a time of discovery, full of challenges, but equally full of triumphs. So far, I have weathered the storm. We all have, alhamdulillah. During my iddah, I have tasted grief, a grief unlike any I have ever felt before. At times, I felt a crushing and desperate loneliness, a longing for my love that threatens to suffocate me. But then I breathe. One beat, two beats, and it's soothed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends me relief in the form of an ayah, or a poem, or a phone call, or a sister dropping by out of the blue to listen and hold my hand and let me know it's okay to feel. I have also felt, as many widows do, the weight of new responsibilities, too numerous to name, the realization that it is all down to you now, that you are a single parent. There's no escape from the responsibility. It is a terrifying one. I have felt the confusion, the anger, the sadness that all widows feel." And then she carries on writing and says, "But equally, with every test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown me the truth of His words. Verily, with every difficulty, there is ease. I have held on to those words. They have kept me from drowning many, many, many times. By His grace, I have felt the love of so many kind and good-hearted souls who have been there for me, sometimes traveling great distances to take the kids, to make me a cup of tea, to listen to me, to let me cry and to let me sleep for 2 days straight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them with Jannatul Firdaus. They have taught me the true meaning of sisterhood. I have felt the love that radiates from my children, my family, from those I don't know, thousands of miles away. I have felt the thrill of strength and determination as I continue to walk forward and achieve the goals I have set for myself, for our family. And I have felt the healing balm of gratitude that continues to sustain me. If it is not improper to say so, I would say that eventually I found my iddah period empowering. By Allah's grace, I have been able to come to terms with and accept that my husband is no longer with us. I have come to accept and embrace the challenges that this new journey will bring. I am at peace with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will never burden the soul more than he can bear. That alone gives me the courage and the confidence I need to meet the numerous challenges head on. I know in my heart of hearts, with full yaqeen, that He did not test us to break us, but rather to purify us, to lift us up. He has been my solace throughout this test, and I have never once despaired of His mercy. Alhamdulillah, Allah has never failed to come to my aid in my time of need. He has never failed to catch me, and He never will, bi-idhnillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal." Now, this is a letter that our post or an article that I'm reading to you, from Naima B. Robert. She's an acclaimed author from my sister's lips, the founding editor of the Sisters magazine. And she wrote this after her husband had passed away. And I was very, very touched with this because I felt it was so encouraging, because you can feel that visceral pain. You can feel it there, and you know when you witness people go through these circumstances and situations that grief and the mourning period is very, very, very difficult. So this is what we're looking at in the second half of our program with our guest, Umma Ayman. We'll be unpacking some of the issues related to grief, grief sharing. Let's go for a break, and afterwards Umma Ayman will be online, inshallah.
Engage or let your voice be heard. The Reminders Program. Email zana@radioislamlife.com. That is ZANAH at radioislamlife.com. Or tweet at @ZANA_ZA.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia-compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 27-4.com. 27-4 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Did you know, as you treat, so shall you be treated. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, O Messenger of Allah, how often should we pardon a servant? He, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remained silent. He repeated the question, but he, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remained silent. At the third occasion, he said, pardon him even if it is 70 times a day.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
ظلمات الجاهليات غسق هتكت أستارها آي العلق ظلمات الجاهليات غسق هتكت أستارها آي العلق ظلمات الجاهليات فتكت أستارها آي العلق قام جبريل على باب حراء وتلى الآيات في سمع الأفق أمة القرآن هذا ذكركم منزل
Reminders program, 10 to 11 a.m. with Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Umma Ayman. Welcome to the Reminders program on Radio Islam.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah. Thanks for taking the time out to join us this morning. I don't know, did you hear the first part of the program?
No, ma. I didn't.
I was reading out Naima's letter or the post that she had written after her husband had passed away, after she had lived her Iddah period. And when you read it, what were the things that were going through your mind?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think that, mashallah, sister Naima has set a very, very good example, mashallah, for the rest of the sisters. It's a very difficult period for any woman to actually go through. And from what I read, alhamdulillah, I think that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have wanted from any mu'mina for during the time of difficulty and during a time of test, alhamdulillah, Sister Naima has definitely put that into practice. And alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her immensely for that and make whatever park they come after this for her very easy, inshallah. Because there's a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says that a wonderful is the matter of the believer. Indeed, all his matters are good for him. When he experiences good conditions, he is grateful of shakir. And when he is afflicted with difficulty, he makes sabr. And that is better for him. And alhamdulillah, Sister Naima, I think, encapsulated all of that in actual practice, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Umm Ayman, you have lots of experience with writing of your book, with being a life coach and alima. You know, you're dealing with community members all the time. And when we come to this issue of grief and sharing grief, and as you rightly said, she has set a good example. Everything had to do with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything had to do with, look, it's a cycle that we have to move through, we have to accept. And there's almost this, you know, like, let's move on to the next phase now after the Iddah period. So she shared everything in a good way, alhamdulillah, so that sets a good example for us. Now, if ever we could talk about the wrong way to grieve in Islam, what would you say is that?
Subhanallah, you know, it's from, I think, life experience, it's a very difficult thing to have to lose someone beloved to you. So we are looking at someone who's lost a spouse, right, at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very difficult time for any woman. I must say that there's a lot of emotion that's involved with that. You've spent, maybe you've been making really good memories with a person. So it can be very, very challenging. But on the flip side of that, you know, you, when that time arrives, things that are obviously unbecoming is, firstly, not to respond the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. So we've got things like asking questions like, why does it happen to me? I've always been a good person. This shouldn't have happened to me. I can't live without my spouse. This is really the worst thing that could have ever happened in my life. Women cry incessantly. They scream. They bawl. They get really, really, how can I say, maybe I'll use the word differently, overreactive in that position. But, you know, like, I'm not going to say that it is not a good thing, of course, because Allah is not pleased with that. But it is a very difficult period. So those are the wrong ways to actually do that, is to question your taqdeer. Because, you know, our taqdeer is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to remember that. And we have to remember that, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِ وَشَرِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that good conditions and the hardships are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been written by Allah. It can't be avoided. Okay? And when we're using words that are, you know, rebelling and upset and, you know, going against what will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sister Fazana, that can only hurt us. Because at the time when we are grieving, we need Allah's rahmah to be surrounding us, inshallah.
Let's take a step back. You know, I threw this question out to a few friends about, you know, what is the correct way to grieve? Is grief shared, grief halved? And one of the sisters who is an alima, she responded by saying that every person grieves differently. Some express it, some don't. Iman plays differently in our maturity, and all of that aids the manner in which we grieve. Then she writes, my bigger concern is that couples cannot live without each other. They cannot survive literally without the presence of the other one. And then they display their grief in a more vulnerable manner. Yes, we have to lean our spouse on our spouses, but at the same time, we have to in our lifetime recognize that we are independent of each other. Now, if somebody understands that, then surely the grief process is a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. I will agree with Sister that there's definitely, you know, there's different ways that people will respond to their grief. It's, you know, like we said, we've got our different age groups, maturity levels, worldview, understanding of Iman and Islam, and what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that will come to the forefront. Then, of course, very, very importantly is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with a purpose, and our purpose is very clear. We are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we carry on with our lives, we also know further that making nikah is fulfilling the half of our iman, alhamdulillah. Then if we look a little bit further, we're going to find that our spouses are very necessary in our lives, alhamdulillah, because of course it's to safeguard us, it's for the procreation, alhamdulillah, it's, you know, it's creating a wonderful Islamic society, safe from harm. but also we are individuals within the relationship, within the marriage itself, all right? Our husbands, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, when the Sahaba, I can't remember, it's not coming to me now, but nobody and nothing must be more beloved to us than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And when, if we can develop that type of iman, where we can actually, we love our spouses, we love our children, but the first thing to acknowledge, Sister Fazana, is that we will be tested. And how we respond to the test has to be the most important thing in our lives, inshallah. And at the time of the test, there has to be sabrun jameel. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he lost his son Ibrahim, when Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of at the time of ifk. You know, there's going to be tests, okay? So our husbands, alhamdulillah, we share wonderful years with them. We share many good memories with them. But we cannot at any point let our lives in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be jeopardized by our response.
Alhamdulillah. The next thing I want to move on to is the topic of offloading or sharing. We do it in our lifetime also. We have our buddies and our friends that we talk to about what goes on in our lives. And a lot of the time it may be lighthearted. A lot of the time it tends to be border on ghibat. You know, you're talking about other people or you're ranting or you're venting. And when it comes to grief, you see, you know, an expression of grief sometimes happens in the form of ranting that goes contrary to sabr-e jameel. So let's elaborate. Could you elaborate on who we should be grieving with, who we should be sharing our grief with, and how, without making it, you know, a rant, that we can express our emotion and feeling?
Okay. I think at this current status or time in our lives, people are a lot more expressive than they used to be before, okay? If I look at it 20 years ago, women were not half as sharing as they are today, okay? And yet that can be harmful because, like you said, sometimes we can choose to speak at places that, you know, what we're actually talking about, like the loss of a husband or the questioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's taqdeer in our lives, can be misconstrued, misunderstood, or carried to someone else who then, you know, talks about it and makes the ghiba, right? Then also what can happen is that we can be, I think, a bit emotional in that we speak whatever we want, wherever we want, and that can also be very dangerous for ourselves. In that we don't realize sometimes that it's not necessary for us to give out so much information about our lives. We need to have a level of or a boundary of how much we will actually share. All right? Also, you know, women must find or should have, alhamdulillah, sisters who are there to give them good advice, especially that which is pleasing to Allah. So from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're going to say that ad-deen nasiha, deen is advice, okay? And when our sisters come to us, we need to give them advice that is pleasing to Allah, that Allah's rahmah will be upon us, that we will be getting a reward for helping someone, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if we can help someone to relieve their distress in the dunya, then inshallah, in Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve distress from us. Okay? So I'm going to say that the starting point would be that our intention should be to be surrounded with sisters who are there to help us to reach Allah, to connect with Allah, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have to be wise enough to not, offend or to cut off, but to be wise about how much of information we're going to share with sisters that are not close to Allah and won't give us good advice. I hope that's not going to be taken the wrong way.
No, but obviously this comes as it's training that happens in your life while your spouse is perhaps even alive, that you have that kind of influence in your life. So many times when you talk about grief, it's almost like life begins there or it ended there. But this is about, you know, building yourself up from way back in the company that you keep.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and now, you know, this is the age of social media. We all are on the internet. We share our lives on the internet to an extent, some more, some less. But look, in the case of the letter that, or the post that I read about the gift of Idda earlier, and the website that Sister Naima has created also as a form of comfort to those who are going through that process, it's a good thing. It's really a good thing. But then how much we share online thereafter. You see, I've seen pics of widows, and I've seen the widows go through a tough time, and, you know, they were making huge declarations at that time that, you know, he is the love of my life, and I'll never be able to love anyone like this again, and, you know that, like, life comes in. And those are statements that are made online. And as much as you can say that, look, they're going through a tough time and we should understand, a year later, 2 years later, they're not feeling the same any longer, and it kind of a little bit embarrassing. So your comment on that, Ummu Eman?
Look, I think a mu'min is responsible for what is on that falls off her tongue, mu'mina. She's, I think we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees all things. That is a very basic premise in our lives. We have to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is towards taqwa building. And we will definitely need, I think, I'll go back and say that acknowledging the tests, we will be tested, is the first thing, okay? And the way we then use our words is like Sister says, going to come back to us later. But again, if we're surrounded with people, inshallah, or we can have a one-on-one, like Sister did, I think it was on idda.com, set up a facility where we can actually ask questions and be advised sincerely, inshallah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's a good thing. But I think that more of this is character building. I think we need to read a lot more about how and what is necessary during this time when we're afflicted with the death of a spouse, or even divorce for that matter. We need to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. What has the precedent set by the great examples of the Sahabiyat from the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because our lives are definitely based on the great models that have already been set for us already, alhamdulillah. So we need to go back to that again. We can't live, I think, in a bubble thinking that, you know, this is never going to happen to me and things are always just going to stay hunky-dory. We will definitely have tests every single day of our lives. This might be a much bigger one. And, you know, putting out negativity, sending out words that are unnecessary, that can come back to harm us, should be something that we ourselves have a choice, Sister Fazana. We have a choice as to how we put that out. Because at the end of the day, we have to remember, when we test it, we need to set our circumstances around us in a way that we can build, that we can become better, that we can become strengthened, inshallah, and that we can reach out, most importantly, to Allah, because Allah is going to be the being that's going to help us through it. And the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the sunnah is what is going to help us to build and to become stronger, inshallah. So the words, I'm going to end it up with this, the words must be carefully chosen, and by choice, we must choose not to put out the negativity and try to make sabr, inshallah.
Inshallah. You know, I'm listening to you speak and I'm saying to myself, someone who's listening is going to say that they're going to become very afraid. Like, you know, maybe I should just stifle everything, every bit of pain and every bit of grief that I'm feeling, because I'm so scared of saying the wrong thing that I'm going to stifle it. And that comes with its own challenges as well. You can become physically sick from stifling things up inside. Okay. So, you know, so what you've obviously talked about the middle ground and, you know, being, but when we discussed this, I discussed this with my class yesterday, they said, look, when at the time of grief, sometimes you know you're supposed to even say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know you're supposed to say Allahumma ajurni fi musibati, but at that acute time of grief, when a tragedy just strikes, you kind of like forget. You're watching yourself in action, but it's not really you. So what kind of solace can we offer then to say, look, it's not all that you must keep quiet about, that you have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. Look, I think that from the life coach perspective, I would say to you that alhamdulillah, you develop relationships with people that you know you're comfortable with and that you trust. And most women know who it is, okay? And what we've done so far, alhamdulillah, is like if a woman comes, I'm going to take it from my perspective, okay?
Yes.
If she comes and I find perhaps she's gone through a bit of a trauma and perhaps she is finding it difficult in the way that she's going to cook, then alhamdulillah, what we do is we chat with her. And alhamdulillah, it's in a non-judgmental environment. We need to be able to let them, we need to know how they're feeling and how they're thinking, so alhamdulillah, we can assist them to readjust their thinking and refocus the thinking, inshallah. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, of course, a necessity to readjust. But again, I'm going to say to you that, look, it's not about stifling. It's about setting up maybe perhaps a time for yourself in a way that, you know, we have this thing called goal setting and planning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So every one of us are goal setting and planning for things that we want to achieve success with. So in a way, it's going to sound strange, but I think that in a way, even for a loss like this, in our minds, we must have a plan. I'm going to lose my spouse. And I remember saying this to my husband once, and I said to him, oh, what will I do? You know, in the moment, three months of reason, we all say that, what will I do when you pass away? And his answer was very simple. He said, Allah will never desert you. SubhanAllah. Okay? And from there, you build. You think, all right, if I lose my husband or my spouse, right, what will I do? What kind of response will I have? Sit out. Start thinking about how you would like to cope with your grief, how you think you can, who do you think will be around you to be able to assist you, what kinds of du'as do you know that will be able to read and help you. I know it sounds very clinical in the way that I'm saying it, but I don't mean it like that, in that it's so clinical, there's no feeling involved in all of this, there isn't any grief or emotion. There is, but we need to take a little bit more control of it, inshallah. And the women around us, alhamdulillah, they can be a strong support system for us and encourage us. Encourage us, to go to the masala, to have a cup of tea with them, to chat about, how they're feeling today, and give them good nasiha. I don't know if that's going to help a little bit more.
Oh, I think that's perfect. And what all this leads to and sort of the discussion is that while you're not in that situation of grief, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you remember me in times of happiness, then I will remember you in times of sadness.
Yes.
So it's about the habits that we cultivate while we in comfortable positions that will then aid us in our difficult times, inshallah. That is basically what you're telling us.
Yes, which is what it is. Ultimately, the noble examples have been set before us, and all we really need to do is look back, because if we look back at it, we're going to find that the steps are very clear, the steps that you need to take. So I'm saying that if you're modeling success in every other aspect of our lives, in the dunya we think, it's absolutely necessary for us from the sunnah, subhanAllah, to actually model the steps that have been taken by the great people before us, the Muslims before us, alhamdulillah. Okay?
Alhamdulillah.
And I mean, we look at a simple thing like, what does the maid actually need right now? Does the maid need me to be crying, wailing, lamenting, being grief-stricken totally? No, the maid needs more from me also. Because the maid needs du'as, alhamdulillah, sadaqah jariyah, inshallah. We need to be doing the things that can make it easier for the person that has left us. Because, that also assists us in making us feel better. When we are actively involved in doing things to assist ourselves and the maid also, inshallah.
Ameen, alhamdulillah. Ummah Iman, jazakallah. I know that you're a busy homeschooler and you have a very hectic schedule, but the time that you spent on air with us this morning and this discussion really, really helps with regards the importance of talking about and sharing your grief and how to do it as well.
Inshallah.
We hope to speak to you soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. May Allah accept, inshallah. May Allah make it so easy for our sisters. May Allah give them the tawfiq, inshallah, to deal with Sabrun Jamil at the time that the tests arrive, inshallah. And may He forgive us for our shortcomings. Jazakallah, Sister Fazana. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, there you have it. Today we were talking about Islam, a religion for all seasons. Grieving according to Islam is grief, shared grief halved, and important things that we touched on was not so much about how we grieve, but who we talk to, how we express it, the importance of having wise friends, those who are trustworthy, even when we are in happy times. So when we go through difficult circumstances, of course, that's, again, a test of who our true friends really are, but that we surround ourselves by not maybe so many friends insofar as the quantity, but rather the quality of the friends that we have in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all who are going through a difficult time. Remember that there are seasons. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala talks about the Quranic Kareem. Sorry, there's this ayah in the Quranic Kareem about a good word being like a good tree. And one hadith says, there's a tree among the trees which is similar to a Muslim in goodness, and it's the date palm tree. And what is explained by the muhaddithin in so far as this is that the tree is not ordinary. It's strong. It's a firm tree whose roots extend deep into the earth. And the believer needs to work to have roots deeply and firmly established by having a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes from our a'mal. And the leaves are very, very, very high. The branches are very, very high. As if they're reaching far into the sky. So the benefits of these branches, it provides shade to those under it, to the believer. So we have an example, a similitude of a tree in the hadith. It's mature. It goes through the process of reaching that height. It goes through the process of reaching that strength and firmness in foundation. So similarly, a believer doesn't suddenly have strong, super strong iman overnight. The believer goes through the process of growing that iman little by little by little, and it eventually strengthens. And as the tree requires constant rain to fall for it to grow and mature, the believer is always watering their heart to cultivate this growth and the strengthening of this iman. And that tree, even when it's dry, it's not without any benefit. So whatever the season is, there's always some kind of benefit. So whichever season of your life you are going through, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this believer as a tree that always has, there's always some goodness that's going to come out of it. And essentially that comes in the reminders through the seasons. It comes to the reminders of the seasons outside your window, the seasons that you're going through internally, but there's always going to be the Jannah that is going to welcome us at the end of it all. I hope that this program has been beneficial. From me, Abdullah, from Brother Ziyad, who's manning things behind the mic this morning, to Aiman also for joining us on the show. Have a beautiful week. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.